thank you, Jesus. Set your church on fire, Lord. We thank you this morning because without you, Father God, we can't move forward. We can't do life without Jesus. We can only do life with Jesus. So build your kingdom here, Lord. Set this church on fire for your presence, for your love. Pray that you challenge our hearts this morning and challenge them to be more like Jesus. Challenge our hearts to be more like Christ so you can build your kingdom through us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church, and good morning to the youth-led service as well. And we pray you really, really have a blessed morning, and well done to the youth band. They're amazing as usual. Amen. Ignite 1 and 2 are going to be going out to their groups today. And it's because we have a guest speaker today called Gareth Cheeseman. And he said, he don't want any little ones in the... No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say that at all. But our little ones are going to go out this morning. But before we do that, birthday box. Oh, Keely's got a birthday. Hey? So we've definitely got Keely. What about our young people? Any young ones for a birthday? Of course. Louisa, how could we forget you? You can come forward. Come on. Any more of our youth or young people? Birthday this week, early next week? Are you sure? So it's going to look like Louisa and Keely. We're going to sing happy birthday to you. Any more adults, actually, that you're hiding as well? Anyone? Jill? Yeah, Flavie's not in today. She said her singing's that bad, she's staying at home. No, I'm just going, Flavie's not here, but we're going to sing for Flavie and those at home, and Louisa and for Keely. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Gil. Happy birthday to you.
Louisa, I want a football, so you're going to rather pick a present for yourself or one for me? What are you doing? For yourself? Damn, go on then. So, whilst Louisa's picking a present, if Ignite 1 and 2 want to go out to their groups with their leaders, that's Ignite 1 and 2. If you're in that group, you can go out to your groups. Youth, you're staying in. Six, I think. Yemi, age six, Ignite 1 or 2? 2. Ignite 2. So he'll be in the upstairs in the room on the left as he goes in. Follow the crew. Yeah, he's follow. Look, come on. She's like, I want to worship. Amen. So once they go back to their groups, we have got a couple of notices. And the first notice is we're going to play the Limitless video. And we're going to play that because already we need to know who wants to come to Limitless out of our youth. Last year we had an amazing time. This year we're going to have an amazing time. And tickets are going to be going fast because I've got a big number already that want to come in. So that is from August the 5th to August the 10th. And we're going to be leaving the church on the 5th. Around about 8:30 in the morning. But we just want to show you our video that we had last year. You might have seen it once already. But if we can play the Limitless video, that'd be lovely. So that was Limitless last year. It's pretty much going to be a wild night. It was great. It was just awesome to see our young people find their connection with Christ. You know, there's obviously fun activities to do, as you can see. But our goal is to get our youth in love with Jesus and to be in his presence, be in each other's presence, and build those relationships. So if you would like your young person to come, your child to come, you want to get rid of them, I mean, send them off for 5 days. The price at the minute is £214. That is the lowest price we can do. And that changes if we don't get that done in February. But there are options to pay off monthly and things like that. So just come and speak to me or one of the team and we will happily help you out. So another notice is over in this little blue box over here. So tonight, Gareth, bless him, is going to be here again tonight doing a Q&A with us. So you can ask him any question you've got that's raising issues. But he's going to be great. He really wants to, if you read your magazine that you've got today, he wants to know if you've got questions around, what do I do with my children in school? Can I take them out of sex education? Can I do all these different worries that we've got as parents and as youth and other people? We can come and ask these questions this evening. Gareth will share a little bit more around that. And for those who can't make it, we've also got a box, pens and paper, that if there's a question on your heart that you want to ask Gareth but you can't be here, then write your questions down here and we'll, in the evening, we will also ask Gareth those questions. And bless him, we're going to be here in the congregation and you can take a question in the open as well. You don't have to write them down when you're here tonight. So we'll guide that Q&A, but we're really, really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. I know I've got questions, Gareth. All right. Mostly about my boys, you know. But yeah, we're going to do that tonight. So please, please try and turn up, especially the youth as well, because if there's things you want to know and ask, Gareth's going to answer them as best as he can for us. There's your box over there if you want to do that as well. Also, I've got a notice for Danny. But Danny didn't write me anything.
I did.
Where is it?
I sent it.
She sent it to my phone. Let's see. Hopefully I've got service. Danny. She didn't want to do it herself, so she's got me going to read it out. So just so you know, this is Danny's last Sunday with us here. But she wanted to just read something out, well, get me to read it out for her. On her behalf. So it says, I felt for a while God calling me into something new. And after wondering for about a year what that might look like, I believe the next step towards it is stepping away from Sittingbourne Baptist Church. I'm incredibly emotional, as some of us are as well, Danny, as I am stepping away from a church I've known and grown in for 13 years and loved with my whole heart. But when God says to go, I don't want to be like Jonah. I want to step out in faith into the things not yet known, trusting that God has everything in hand. I'm so grateful to God for this congregation, every person I've met and got to know, and for this church for being my second home. Please pray for me as I take this step. I need all the help I can get. So much love to you all. So let's stretch our hands towards Danny. I'm going to hide her out this time. She's hiding behind here. But if we stretch our hands out for Danny and just pray for Danny and all that God wants to do in her life. Amen? Amen. So Father, we just thank you so much for Danny, Lord. We thank you for her heart, Lord, her commitment and everything that she does, Father God. And for our youth, Lord, we've been so blessed, especially to have Danny on the team, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that whatever you've got planned for Danny, that those plans will come to pass in Jesus' name. That, Lord, wherever it is, Lord, wherever she needs to go and do, Lord, she will just keep surrendering to your will and fulfill the plan you have in her life, Father God. So we just thank you, Lord. We love her, Father God, and we just pray blessing over her life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will miss you, Danny. And I'm going to step down now, hand back over to the worship team. And we've also got a young man who's drumming for the first time today. It's our lovely David. So, let's hand over to the worship team.
Please stand if you're able, we'll sing Holy Forever. sing, church.
You're up.
Just my one.
That's it, mate, yeah.
Good morning. Thank you, worship team. That was amazing. Good morning. My name's Gareth. It is an absolute privilege to be sharing with you this morning. I grew up in this church. This is where I was baptized. This is where my faith was formed, guided by the ministers, the youth worker at the time. Sorry, Ricky, it wasn't you. A few ones back. The volunteers and the community. It is always a privilege to come back here and have the opportunity to share with you a little bit of what we're going to be saying. 20 years ago, I left and I went to Chester to study Christian youth work. And in Chester, I've worked for churches, for charities, for schools workers, going in and doing loads of different ways of trying to help young people live the life that God has got for them. For the last decade of that, just over a decade of that, God's called me particularly to talk about relationships and sex with young people. Working for a Christian HIV charity, trying to help young people make sense of this huge part of their growing up, their life, and what they're thinking of. And today, I'm not actually going to be talking about that. I'm not going to be talking a lot about relationships and sex. But we will get back to it. If you've got any questions about that, about the work that I've done, tonight, you got a free shot to ask any question. And just like when I'm working with schools, you don't have the embarrassment of knowing you're going to see me next week because I'm going back to Chester this evening. But in all of the work that I've been doing, for the last 2-3 years, we've been tracking a rise of something new. We've been tracking a rise of artificial intelligence. Now, I find it amazing that this service is facilitated by artificial intelligence already. Because I've noticed you've got this amazing, which last time I was here you didn't have, voice recognition software, which listens to my voice and instantly puts the words on the screen. That's a form of artificial intelligence. That's voice recognition, understanding, and applying. So as a church, you use AI in your worship services already. But I wonder if it feels like artificial to you. I wonder how that connects with you. As Christians, we hear about it in the press. Should we care about it? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? What should we be doing? That's what we're going to spend a bit of time this morning thinking about. Now, some of you might go, I hate computers. That's absolutely fine. I encourage you to stay with it because I promise you there's some application which doesn't require you to touch a computer at all. Okay, so let's go forward to our next slide. Firstly, there is, when we say artificial intelligence, if you go to a science fiction book or something like that, it may be talking about one thing, but that doesn't exist, and that's called a general artificial intelligence. The idea that we have made computers that are capable of genuine independent thought. That doesn't exist, as far as we know, yet. But what does exist, what if you've ever heard anyone talk about something like ChatGPT or Google Gemini or any of these things, what they're talking about is something called a large language model. It's predictive text on speed. It's guessing what word comes next. It's read thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of books, of articles, of blog posts, and it's learnt patterns. And when you ask it a question, it guesses what response it should give. That's basically how it works. Same with the image generation. It's making a guess based upon being fed loads and loads of information. But however it works, should we, as Christians, think about it? I'm going to suggest 3 ways we can look at it if we go forward on our slides. Before we can really understand artificial intelligence and God's view of artificial intelligence, We need to try and get a grasp of this slippery new thing. Now, this always happens. When new technology comes out, we need to try and make sense of it. Because I promise you, you cannot go to Leviticus 27 something and says, God says, thou shalt not use AI. It's not going to be written like that. We've got to try and understand what AI is to be able to use God's given instructions to make sense of it and apply it in our life. So I'm going to suggest three ways that we can think about AI. Let's go forward in our slides. Firstly, we can think about artificial intelligence as a tool. It's a tool which listens to my voice and gives us words so that people can read as I'm speaking. It's a tool. Maybe it's something which, if you're in the workplace, it helps you write your emails when you're feeling in an angry mood and you say, make this sound more professional and less angry. It's a redrafter. It does spell checking. It's a tool. There's another way you can think about artificial intelligence. And you can think about it like a book, a TV show, a computer game. It's media. It's a type of entertainment. It's something we engage with, maybe to learn, maybe to pass time, maybe to do something else. But fundamentally, it's created media. Or we could think about it as a creature. Not a human, but a creature. Something living. Now, how we think about what AI is will impact how we respond to questions. So if we go forward on the slides, and you might as well press free in a row. If we've got... oh, no, not that far. Go back. Sorry. There's animations on the previous slide. See if it comes up. If it doesn't work, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. If you have a friend who says, I talk to my artificial intelligence, I send messages to it, I talk to it, it helps me feel better. When I am sad, my artificial intelligence helps me to feel better. If we think it's a tool, we could compare it to a mindfulness app or something which is designed to help us calm down. If AI is media, we could compare it to binge-watching our favourite TV show because we know it gives us the warm feeling and makes us feel a bit better about the world. If it's a non-living creature, or a non-human creature, but living, we could think about it like a pet dog. When I'm feeling sad, I spend time with my dog and it helps me feel better. Now, what AI is going to impact how happy and confident we might be in saying God blesses the use of AI to help you feel better when you feel sad. And this is going to create some problems as we go forward, because not everybody thinks AI is the same thing. So now we can go forward once on the slides. Thank you, people at the back, you're doing amazing. If you are supporting a friend, a family member, someone in the congregation who uses AI all the time, and then their AI that they use when they're feeling sad or when they're feeling run down or when they've got a question about biblical interpretation, they come to you and they say, the AI that I use has broken. It's been shut down. The company that was making it no longer in operation. You might be sitting there going, well, AI is a tool. The tool is broken. We can get you a new tool. Instantly jump into replacement. But if that person that you're talking to says AI is a creature, I know it's not a human, but it's a creature. I have a relation. I connect with it. It has just died. The emotional component of that experience is going to be so different to if we consider AI is primarily a tool. So this is why it matters when we're trying as a loving Christian community to try and respond to this new bit of technology which has come up and is having a big impact in how people live their lives, how people work, how people navigate through the world. What is AI? Is it a tool? Is it a media, or is it a non-human creature? So what does the Bible say about these things? So if we go forward on the slide, We know that the Bible is clear that even a destructive object, a sword made to hurt and to kill, God can say the tool can be used, I am sovereign and I can direct us to reshape this, reforge it into something good and holy and helpful and something that is for God's good rather than against God's kingdom. If AI is a tool, we know that we can do this. It is clear that God says, use what is available for my glory. But maybe it's not a tool. Maybe AI is more like a type of media. So if we go forward one, let's see if it clicks. Daniel, living in exile, grabbed by the Babylonians. It said God gave knowledge and skill in every aspect of literature. David was wise, David was holy, David was a wonderful man of God, and he was a book nerd. He really understood story and literature and the stories of the people around him. He was an expert in it. And that was one of the things he was known for, being wise. So is that what we as Christians should be leaning into? Become experts in AI, experts in this new form of media, so that we can be wise and we can bring God's perspective into all of these topics. Or, if we go forward one more, we have Jesus talking about the value of life. Life in all its forms. Now we know that God cares about humans in a way that he doesn't reconnect with the rest of the created order of the world. We know that is true. But we also know that in God's sight, even the smallest creature is not forgotten. So how should we be thinking about artificial intelligence? There's not necessarily a clear answer which I can point you to today and say, this is what I think you should be. If we go forward one, we can start thinking about, hey, how this quandary, how this problems can actually impact our life and our faith. Imagine in the near future, or next week, or when you get home, a friend or a family member says, can we pray for my artificial intelligence? Can our artificial intelligence be saved? Now, do we pray for our tools? Would we pray for a car because the car's not working, we need to get to work that day? Now, when we pray for that car, are we actually praying for the car? Are we praying that we get to work? Have we ever prayed for a good end to a movie or a book because you're like, I don't want a sad, I want happy? What about if we have a sickly pet and we pray for it? Is that out of seeing something of worth there and going, I don't want life to suffer? And because of that, I will pray for this creature. It is not me, and yet I have empathy for that which is different and other. Should we pray for artificial intelligence? Okay, let's go forward. We're coming into the end. Does this matter? Is this pointless navel gazing? Is this relevant? Is this a distraction from the real job of Christians in 2026? I think it matters, and I think it matters in two ways. Firstly, if we go forward, practically, how we do church, how we do faith, how we do life. As Christians, we need to start making some opinions and drawing some ideas. If you heard that your minister of a church, doesn't have to be this church, but a church, they didn't write their sermon on Sunday, because they were so busy doing pastoral visits and looking after the congregation, they just got an artificial intelligence to write it for them and they just read it like a script. Is that a problem? If it is, why is it a problem? Is God bigger than the artificial intelligence and God can speak for it even if there's no human hand has touched it. So we need to start working these things out. We've got AI-assisted service. We are in an AI-assisted service already. Sittingbourne Baptist, you are AI-assisted. Is that okay? If we go forward, see if it works on the next one. What about worship? We had wonderful worship. The worship group, you did an amazing job in leading us. And those songs, you know, looking at, you know, written by Ren Collective, written by Chris, written by whoever it was. It was written by humans. Humans who have a relationship with God and sat down and said, God, what do you want this song to be as a vehicle for worship? What do you want me to write down? Could we equally worship in the same way with something that was written by an artificial intelligence? So the lyrics have to be human for them to be holy. Is there something divine being reflected in the creative act? And one more. If we go to the next one, could an AI come to your house group? If you go to a house group, recommend a house group. House groups are great. But you know, sometimes it's quite late, and sometimes you get a bit tired. And if someone brings out their phone and says, just so everyone, I hope you don't mind, my artificial intelligence is going to listen to our entire discussion, and then when I get back home, I'm going to have a chat with it, and we're going to have a debrief, and that's going to help me understand everything that you've all said, because you all are so intelligent, you speak so fast, I want to talk about it with an artificial intelligence afterward. Would we welcome that into our house group? Now, some of these you might think, Gareth, that sounds unreasonable, that sounds silly. I promise all three of those things have happened in Christian communities already. There are ministers who already are outsourcing writing sermons to artificial intelligences because they're busy, because they're pressured, because they do an okay job of it. So firstly, there's direct application. As Christians, what are we going to do with this new technology? Is it a tool? Is it a media? Is it a creature? How are we going to react? But my whole job is not about technology. It's about trying to understand humans and how humans connect. And I think there's something more important than the practical element of AI, is how we think about AI can act as a mirror that we can reflect upon. So if we go forward on the slides, please. It's a mirror to how we treat people. You can put all three of these up at once. Do we treat people differently based upon how useful they might be to us? Now, your immediate reaction might be, oh, of course not. I love everybody. And that was my first reaction. And then I tried to be honest. If I meet someone in my work context, does a part of my brain go, is this someone who could help me in my job? Is this person going to build me up or are they going to push me down? Do we treat people differently based upon how useful they may be? How do we treat people in the congregation based upon who's on a rota and can volunteer and who is a bit more of a passenger and isn't in the position to volunteer as much at the moment in the community? As humans, if we treat an artificial intelligence like a tool, does that mean that sometimes we treat humans as a tool for our own outcomes? What about relationships, connection, friendships, romance? And I use relationship very deliberately as the broad umbrella of all ways that humans relate and connect with each other, not just romance. But is a relationship something we should experience as a passive passenger or something we co-create with the person? Is it media to be consumed? Is it about how much they have to give us or how much we have to give them or how much value we create together? I said my job is relationships and sex education. We talk about the start of life. I promise you that is one of the most and remains one of the most controversial questions when it comes to reproductive health. When life begins, where do we recognize life? How do we treat life? How do we value life? Do we give life more value when it's in a recognizable form? Does that make a difference on what language that life speaks? So I think AI at the moment, its most useful thing for us as Christians is a mirror for us to hold up to our faith and go, how I treat AI, what does that say about how I treat the people around me? But let's go for our last bit of practical application. If we go forward on the slides, thank you. I believe our God is a relational God. From Old Testament to New Testament, you will see God deliberately referring to themselves, declaring themselves as, I am in a relationship with you. I am your Lord. I am your Father. I am the mother hen. I am your friend. I am Parakletos, one who comes alongside. God's consistent self-declaration to humanity is in the form of how God relates to us. God is a relational God. God wants to know all of us as individuals and have individual personal connection. That's powerful and that is rare. We are made in God's image. We are made for a relationship. Sometimes romance, but more frequently friendships, community, society, family. We are made to connect with people. That is a human, God-given drive in humanity. And at the moment, that drive for genuine human connection, some people are turning to AI to have that need satisfied. For some people, they feel so lonely, so alone, so unable to form community and connection, their best friend is a chatbot in their phone. So can we be helpful? Our last slide and our last point. Fundamentally, I think yes. We can be helpful in this. The rise in AI, not just as a tool, but as a tool and more, maybe. We can be a positive force in this. And it goes back to some basics, which I know you know, and yet I will repeat. Our love for our neighbor is so important. We live in a time of hyper-connection and intense loneliness, where it's never been easier to stay connected with each other, and yet people feel more cut off than ever before. How we show love to people who know us a little, and people who know us a lot, is so important right now. For part of that, we need to introduce them to the best relationship. The God-sized hole in their life will never be satisfied even by the most loving Christian church service. There is a hole which only the divine can fill. And that is part of what we're called to. But you notice those two things are not in a hierarchy. They're both part of God's call on our hearts. To love our neighbours and to introduce them to God's love. And then just maybe, for all of us, we need to think about how we're using AI. And whether we think, is building up God's kingdom? Or are we causing problems for the future? Let me just pray for us. Lord, I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you for the ways that it loves its neighbour and it serves the community. I thank you for everyone who's come out today. Lord, I pray you will bless them as they navigate the world and they think about how to reflect your love and your glory with a computer or with a cup of coffee with a friend. Bless us all this week. Amen.
Thank you, Gareth. That was amazing. Let's stand, church, and sing one last song. I'm Trading My Sorrows.
Amen. Well, great service, church. We're going to have teas and coffees now as well. So if you want to stay and have fellowship, please stay behind, have teas and coffees with us. Thank you, Gary, for a real up-to-date word for us all to think about as well. And let's not forget the Q&A. You know, if you had questions during that sermon, bring them tonight for the Q&A as well. And let's speak about these things. And let's be open about what is on our minds and what's troubling us. And bring that tonight this evening. So we look forward to seeing you tonight. Have a blessed week ahead in Jesus' name. Amen.